Blog Talk Radio.
We reserve the right to not disclose personal and private information, and the views and opinion expressed on the Live, Laugh, and Learn radio show with Mirren are those of the author and do not necessarily reflect the official policies and position of our organization. Any content provided by our authors are of their own opinion and not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, organization, or individual. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode with yours truly. Today, I have a special guest that I am thrilled to have on today. I'm going to bring her in, but before I do that, let me introduce her. So she is my sister, Kendra Johnson. She's a high school teacher. She's also a mom. She was born on the Twin Islands of Trinidad and Tobago, but now she lives in Canada. She came here at the age of 11. So she spent most of her time in Canada, which is the country of her birth. She believes education is more than just theory. True education was designed by God and was made for us to seek Him in all and everything that we do. And as parents, we are and always will be our children's teacher. And that is how she approached parenting. So without further ado, let me bring my sister on.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Sis. Hello there.
Hey.
Welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm well, Mary. How are you doing?
I am doing good. It has been a busy day.
I understand. The same thing here.
So, Sis, tell us a little bit about everything that I introduced, but tell us something that I did not go over. So how many kids do you have?
So I have four children. They range from ages 21, 7, 5, and 1. So there is a 20-year gap between my first and my last.
Wow. Yes, it is. A 21-year gap. My kids are 9 years apart. Hello, Sis?
Hi. I'm so sorry.
Hello?
It seems to be coming in and out. Hi.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay. I tried to use the AirPods, but maybe the AirPods are not working that great today, so I'm going to disconnect those. So
you know
I'm
what I'm hearing a lot better now.
Okay. Thank you, Sis, for that. So I wanted to dive in today's message. As you, me and you, we are part of the Faith Mama Tribe app, and you shared some great insight on being a teen mom. So I want to just dive in that. What was your hardest decision you had to make while being a teen mom?
I think the hardest decision was being a teen mom because you have options. It doesn't have to be that you have to parent, but the choice to parent in and of itself is the hardest decision.
I certainly agree with that because, like you said, you do have other choices, but to be a teen mom, I certainly agree to that. But let's go back before becoming a teen mom. I know that as teens, like for me, curiosity, you know, may have led me down this road where I became a mom before I was. So what led you to have intercourse as a teen before marriage? Was it something that you, as far as did you know the ins and outs of what having intercourse before marriage?
No, you don't. I shouldn't say no. I didn't know the full extent, right? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, like all teenagers, you think you're invincible, or at least I thought I was. And I'm like, I didn't think about it. And that was the point. There was also a lot of things happening in my life. Like you said, you asked what was happening before, right? My mom was a single mom. I was left to myself a lot. I did basically whatever I wanted for the most part. Going with friends, doing just about anything, coming home for the most part whenever I wanted to. After school, I would just do my own thing. So I was pretty free and independent, right? And in that, there was also no guidance. And the reality is we know, and it's funny, the Bible actually talks about that, where there's no guidance, what happens, right? Unfortunately, it leads to bad choices.
No, I certainly agree with that because my upbringing, my family dynamic played a vital part in the decision I made. You know, my father died when I was in elementary school, which left my mom with five little children, even though she had two older ones, but she just had five little ones. And each of us, we were seeking for our own attention in our own way, but missing the love from my father, that made me make this decision, and it caused, you know, consequences. We know every action, there's a consequence. So how was your upbringing, and how did it, you know, how it affect with down this path with being a teen mom?
I would say my family dynamic, very similar. My mom was a single mom, but prior to that, my parents, who came to Canada when I was a little girl, they determined that they were coming out here in the Caribbean. They loved to stay. They were looking for a better life. That's why they came to Canada. And in doing so, they decided that's when we were left back home with my father's sister. And when I was 11, I came to Canada. And when I came to Canada, I came to live with my mom, who at that time was a single mother. She worked a lot. So it was just my sisters and I home alone a lot. And in that, with both my parents, as I got older, I never understood how much my life was affected. But what started to happen was I was looking for people to show me that they care. And I had this idea when it came to men, I can control them in that way. But I didn't realize there would be consequences for me as well in that.
Okay. You hit a point with what you just said that, you know, at that time you believed that you could control men in that way. So was it that you believed that at that moment you could control men with being pregnant?
No, I wasn't trying there sexually.
Okay. No, okay. No, and that's
right. And having that power over them.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Okay. Thank you so much for being transparent and sharing that because, you know, far too often as parents as well as children, they don't understand that, okay, parents have been there before as well as parents need to understand that there are certain things that you can share with your children, but you have to make sure that your child is mature enough to receive what you're trying to say to them.
Exactly.
You know,
I think that conversation,
mm-hmm.
It stages, and it starts at different points, and there's different ways we have that, and it starts when they're as little as 1, 2, 3, 4, but obviously that conversation looks different at every stage.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. So then as though you said that, is it, okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, we know the time has changed from when I was little versus when you was little. So when do you talk to your child? Typically, let's just say, okay, in your family, in your household with your children, at what age do you begin and how do you begin that conversation about this?
Well, something I've learned recently, with my older daughter that I parented as a teenager, that was a little bit harder because I was still learning myself. So the challenge was I am maturing myself and then raising a child. So I did not know how to have those conversations, and I wasn't always comfortable having those conversations, right? So mm-hmm. that in and of itself was a whole lot of growing that I had to do. And mm-hmm. by God's grace, I thank God because we got there. But with the younger ones now that I've been blessed to have in my older age, one being, as I said, 7, 5, and 1, it's already starting to talk about even little things as their body parts. Those are conversations around mm-hmm. sex. And I no longer nickname body parts, which
okay.
I used to do with my older daughter, because coming from
mm-hmm.
where we come from, that's what you do. You nickname your body parts. You don't ever
yes.
say a vagina or a penis, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I've learned
yes.
you don't nickname them. You start teaching them. And it's interesting how you hear children already learning to shame their body parts even when they're young. My 5-year-old would say, oh, mommy, that's a bad word. And I would ask her, why you figured out it's a bad word? She's like, I don't know. It's just a bad mm-hmm. word. Because for her, it's my private area, so it must be a bad word, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And already it's,
no.
it is not a bad word is what I tell her.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean because it's not a bad word, no one should touch you or try to be inappropriate with you. But it is not a bad
mm-hmm.
word,
mm-hmm.
right? So
now,
even as
mm-hmm.
young as 5, that's the kind of conversations we have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No. No, I, look, I agree with you, sis, that this conversation, it does need to take place. You know, I believe that you meet your child where they're at, but I'm also a firm believer of, I've went through that stage with my son. It's like, we use purple face words. That's what we will use as far as naming the body parts and different things. But I would say that I made a mistake of not preparing him beforehand, before the world took over and had its way with my son. But I would say that it is very important as parents to educate our children as soon as possible, because if we can get the give them a cell phone to just stroll and get on social media at the age of 5
exactly.
or whatever, we can educate them about the different things that this device can expose them to.
Exactly. And that is where you want to be honest with them and have those direct conversations. And the reasons why it is important to have those conversations, you know, I know personally people that have also gone through certain traumas because
mm-hmm.
they weren't educated in the right way. And then what happens is they get older, and then the parents are finding out things have happened to them, and it was like, but you never told me this, or you never shared
mm-hmm.
this with me. And then so the child didn't even know how to navigate when they were placed in uncomfortable situations.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you. And like you said, a parent, an adult won't know until a child become of age where they're like, okay, they are comfortable with speaking about things that may have happened to them that was inappropriate, but they did not know because, you know, kids are trained, you listen to an adult. If they tell you to do something, you do it, but we have to do our due diligence and not think that, oh, well, they are too young for this. We have to really educate them about it to protect themselves, but also notify the parents so that they can step in to provide guidance and safety for a child if they feel like they may be in danger.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then it's that whole idea of when it comes to sex, obviously as they get older, the conversations start to change because as your
mm-hmm.
children get older, their body parts start to change. Girls,
mm-hmm.
and the thing is now, things are happening a lot earlier now, and that's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more than just the cognitive piece. It's also the physical piece that's taking place too. Girls are starting to get breast earlier. We're seeing these developmental
mm-hmm.
changes happening at a faster rate. So now you have to figure out how to navigate having those conversations with your child who may be immature
mm-hmm.
emotionally, but their bodies
mm-hmm.
are not.
Mm-hmm.
So now that's
no,
the next part of the conversation.
Absolutely.
It's figuring out those pieces, right? And the reality is, as parents, you may not be able to have the conversation, so you might need to seek out the right help to guide you through how to have those conversations with your children.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And not relying on the school. Not relying on the school to do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree. So with someone like for myself and you, I know that we are believers in Jesus Christ, but I know that I didn't get here by myself. How did you, at what age did you get saved, and how did you, how were you introduced to Jesus?
So the thing is, I've always grown up in a family that God was always there, talked about. I won't say everybody went to church. As I said before, I grew up with my aunt in Trinidad, who my parents left me with. My aunt stopped going to church. She grew up going to church, but she stopped when she was older. But one thing she did do was we had to go to church. Again, being in a Caribbean home, I may not go to church, but you're going to church. That happens quite often as well. So we still went to church, and I've always wanted to be in church. It's not like it's not something that I didn't want to do. Again, growing up in the Caribbean, I would like to say basically all the schools were of some religion. There weren't schools. Okay. It wasn't like there was how we have the public system, and it wasn't like that. Almost every school had some form of religion. We went to a Moravian school, so God and Christ was always a part of your upbringing, right? Okay. That was just what it was. So that was just always something I did. When I was 19 years old, I made the decision to get baptized. I did that when my daughter was 2 years old. And I will say that at that point, I knew that I was ready to do that. Did it mean that when I was 19 and I made that decision, I didn't also continue to do a lot of things that would be questionable? Of course I did, and I still do. But that was when I felt that calling to do so.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So when you were introduced to Jesus Christ, and like you said, we know these things when you are accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that doesn't mean that you're not going to fall, but what that does mean to me, it means that you are forgiven, you can walk free, and God forgiving you, but we still make decisions that place us in some uncomfortable circumstances. So what would you say to a teen or a parent that have a teen? It could be a son or a daughter, as it pertains to pregnancy, as it pertains to sex.
I would say talk, have conversations. Don't be afraid to have conversations with your children. And honest conversations, talking about everything from sexually transmitted diseases, from teen pregnancy. I would say talk to them, and don't make it seem like teen pregnancy is the worst absolute thing in the world that can happen to you, because one thing I tell teens, it is not the worst thing that can happen to you. That's only one consequence of sex, but there are other consequences that can cause you to lose your life. So one of those things is sometimes we figure that we're going to scare kids into you're going to get pregnant or you're going to get a girl pregnant. That is not the worst thing. And I think that we need to steer clear of making teens think that that is absolutely the worst thing that can happen to them. And really have other conversations around other aspects of sex and even the emotional aspects of it, of you when you have sex, what it does emotionally in terms of joining you with another person, right? And the reality is, you know, every time we have sex, it becomes a situation of you are giving yourself over to someone and that person has a piece of you, right? So talking about that emotional consequences with it, not just this, oh, you're going to get pregnant or you're going to get a girl pregnant and you don't have a job. You know what? By God's grace, you would be surprised how that can work out. There are other aspects that don't get worked out that easily. You can get HIV. You can get a sexually transmitted disease that has adverse effects that are not reversible. You can get a transmitted disease that you didn't even know you had, and that has effects later on that when you are ready to have children, you find out, oh, I had this and now I have scarring and I cannot have children. Right? So there are so many aspects of it that we need to really have, as again, it's conversations that start from the time our children are young so that they even feel comfortable to have those conversations with us when they get older.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And you talked about, like you said, it's not just, okay, well, you can get a girl pregnant or the girl, you can get pregnant. You need to look at the bigger picture. This could possibly, in your life, this could be, you know, unfortunately, it could be a death sentence depending on, you know,
exactly.
what it is. We want to give them the truth. It ain't just isolated. We have to give them the whole big picture. And we cannot, I agree, we cannot leave it up to the school to teach them because the school is not going to teach them faith. Some schools are not going to teach them faith. Some schools are not going to actually tell them the truth and be transparent about it. They are going to give them some information, some pamphlets to read over it. And sometimes, you know, I would say some schools typically, depending on where the school is located, they may highlight it where, oh, well, look at this girl. She experienced this. Or a child may have a friend that's going through it, so they may receive it differently. And it does have an emotional effect on children, an emotional and mental effect. So with that being said, as a teen mom, what mental and emotional effect did it have on you? Because I can speak for what it had on me, but what did it have on you?
A lot. It was rough. Many days were rough, and I was a single mom on top of that, and I did not have any family support. So I was doing pickups, drop-offs. I was by myself most of the time. On top of that, I was going to school full-time and working with my child full-time. It was emotionally draining. I was tired. It led to me having a lot of depression, which I didn't even know I had until I was in my third year of university. And one day, I remember I just broke down. And I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't want to do anything. And I remember speaking to my doctor because I didn't know what I was feeling. And the doctor said to me, you know, this is depression. And I was like, what are you talking about? Because, again, here's another thing in our Black community we don't talk about, mental health. And I'm like, depression? What is she talking about? And I remember she said to me, you have two options. She said, you can take medication. Or you can find ways to get through this. She said, I would rather not give you the medication. She said, but if that's what we have to do, that's what we have to do. And as I said, at this point, I'm in my third year of university, and I'm realizing, whoa, this is how serious this is, right? And it's now me having to realize that I am dealing with a lot of the struggles from being a teen mom, also from my life before that and all the trauma I faced as a child, which led to me being a teen mom, and then now dealing with being a teen mom, going to school, trying to make something of myself, and all of that just caught up with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have open wounds on top of more wounds when you go through things like that. And like you said, you have to, you know, I'm glad that you was given an option of, hey, I can put you on medicine, but there are other ways to handle this, to address this. And I just thank God that you had the ability to be transparent to share this, because there are many parents that need to hear this. There are many parents that need to share this with their children, because sometimes we are closed-minded and we can be so busy on the go and what society is putting on us. But reality is we are, like you said, our children's first teacher. And before we wrap up this, I want you to be able to share, where can people find more information about you? What social media are you on?
I don't have a lot of social media. The only thing I have is Facebook.
Okay.
And I am just Kinda Johnson on Facebook. I don't do a lot of social media. And, you know, it just simplifies my life that way, to be very honest with you.
No, I agree with you. I was on everything you could possibly name years ago. But when God said, get off, I said, okay, I'm off. So, you know, I'm not on too many as well. So, and like you said, it does simplify your life and it gives you a peace of mind. So two more questions. So looking back on how far you've come, what scripture comes to remembrance?
my favorite scripture is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I think towards you, where God tells me he has a plan for my life and it's only for good and not evil. And he has a future and a hope for me and to give me peace. That is the first thing I think about every time I think about my life, that God only wants good for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I love that scripture. God used that scripture in a mighty way for me. So that is my go-to scripture as well, because he know the plan, and anything that come against that plan, I know is not of God. So I know that in the end, what his plan is, which will be prevail against whatever comes my way. So, man, I know that scripture by heart, and that's my go-to scripture. So as a parent is going through difficulties at home with their teen, or a child, a teenager may be unexpectedly become pregnant, what resources or advice are out there that someone can look up to help keep a teen grounded or for the trick of the enemy with their actions?
You know what? Now that I look back, I may not have had my family support, but one thing, mm-hmm. most recently, I have a coworker. She loves to tell me about tribes, and I never thought about it too much before, but when I look back now, I had a tribe, and my tribe always consisted mm-hmm. of women in my life who, now that I look back, I can say have been there in different ways, from different walks mm-hmm. of life in different ways, were supportive. You may not feel like you have anyone, but if you really look deep, you will be surprised that you have people that mm-hmm. are there for you. Community services that are out there, there are community services that are there for teen moms specifically. I don't know where you guys are in the state, but I know in Canada we have public health, which is in different mm-hmm. regions, and public health helps you with finding different services that are available for you. Sometimes we also think of places like CAS or Child Protective Services as all negative, but you would be surprised. There are supports. If you are dealing with a teenager or if you are a teen mom, I know there's been a lot of historical trauma when it comes to these organizations, but if you find the right supports, you will be surprised that there are people out there that can help and can be of a help if you prayerfully seek those supports. Your doctors are good resources. Again, I know a lot of historical trauma, especially sometimes in the Black community, but if you find the right medical practitioner, you'd be surprised that you can get help in these areas.
Thank you so much, Kenda, for sharing that information. If you all have not done so, please make sure that you follow Kenda Johnson. She is on Facebook. That is K-I-N-D-A. Last name is Johnson. She is a high school teacher, so look, I know she got a lot of other training as it pertains to our teen. I want to thank you so much, sis, for coming by, sharing your testimony, providing insight and wisdom for us as parents so that we can help our children, and not just help our children, so that we can understand that we are free from any past mistakes that may have led us in a position. But God has chosen Jesus Christ. We have the ability that we can walk free. So you enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you again for joining me.
Thank you for having me. You have a wonderful evening.
You're welcome.
Bye.
For more information about my mom or booking, please visit motivationalmary.com.